Is there a faster way to quiet a room than to ask for a volunteer to pray? Everyone can be laughing and smiling and chatting away, and as soon as it comes time to offer a blessing, dead silence. I'm one of those people. And don't get me wrong, I love to pray. And I don't have a problem speaking in front of people, but praying in a group? Well, that's a whole other thing. I like the people around me. I love God. So why do I feel so scared to pray?
One day, three preachers were sitting at lunch together in their weekly gathering where they debated God and faith and theology. And that particular day, a utility company worker came in and sat at a table next to them. They were so deep in conversation, they didn't even notice. Their conversation that day was about prayer, and one of the pastors was saying, you know, I am convinced that the most important way to pray is to kneel and bow down and fold your hands. It's like all the pictures of Jesus that we see, so many of them are Jesus kneeling down and folding his hands. That's definitely the way you should pray. One of the others jumped right in and said, no, I'm convinced that all of my most powerful experiences of prayer were standing up with my hands up, just open to let the Holy Spirit move in my body. The third pastor, he was going to get his word in edgewise. That's what we pastors do. He said, no, I tell my congregation members if they want the most powerful experience of prayer, they should prostrate themselves, just lay down completely on the ground. It says in scriptures, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. It was at that point that the utility company worker who'd been listening to this whole conversation couldn't resist any longer, and so he leaned over and he said, hey friends, I couldn't help but overhearing what you were saying, and I really think you need to get out and hear what people outside of your churches say, because the most powerful praying I have ever done was hanging upside down on a utility pole. So how do you do your best praying? Today we're continuing our sermon series called Let's Pray, and as those of you who have been here the last several weeks know, we're following the Gospel of Luke and seeking lessons and teachings from Jesus about how do we connect with God in our prayer life. What does Jesus teach us about prayer? And if you're joining us for the first time, you'll see in your life guide that there are daily prayers and questions and scriptures to read that are kind of guiding us to just be a people of prayer every day. If you're not sure how to pray, you can pick up a Let's Pray devotional guide as well, and it has prayers and quotes and literally the words to pray and an exercise to do, so we can be praying every day together as we move toward Easter. So over the past several weeks, we've looked at questions about prayer. We answered the question, why do we pray? We answer the question, what do we pray? Like, what do we literally say when we pray? Last week, we looked at who do we pray for? And if you want to go back and catch any of those, you can do that on our website. You can watch the videos there. We're on iTunes now, and you can pull the podcast down and listen there as well. And all that brings us to today's question, which is, how do we pray? And you might be sitting, like last week we said, who do you pray for? And the obvious answer is everyone. Well, how do you pray? Well, you have a conversation with God, right? And for many of us, it's bowing our heads and often folding our hands, just entering into that space with God and praying. And that's the obvious answer to how to pray. But like last week, I'm going to encourage us to look a little bit deeper today about what does Jesus really teach about prayer? And specifically, what does Jesus teach about this question? So how do we pray? It seems fitting as we start. Let's share in a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, may these words I share today, that you've put on my heart today, may they be delivered ultimately to your glory. May our hearts of each one of us here today, may they be filled to overflowing with your love. And Jesus, may we emerge from this space and place today and carry forth your word as a light to our world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you ever want to see a group of adults act kind of like sixth graders who haven't done the reading assignment when their teacher has asked for them to give input, all you have to do is enter into a circle of people with a pastor and have him or her ask them, hey, would somebody be willing to pray? And I don't know if you've been in this circle. This doesn't always happen in clay circles. I'm very much proud of that. But it doesn't always happen. But often when you're in a circle with a pastor and they say, hey, would somebody pray? What happens is just like that sixth grade classroom, everybody looks down. Right? Don't make eye contact with the pastor. He might call on me. Or don't make eye contact because he'll make me feel guilty that I'm not going to volunteer because there isn't any way I'm praying in front of all of these people. Or if you watch really carefully and the pastor waits long enough, which is sometimes kind of fun to do, you'll see bead of sweat begin to just gather on a few people because they're like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to have to break this no prayer zone, right? And I wonder, so what goes through the mind of people in that moment? Because most people sitting in those circles, I know that they pray. But suddenly it's like, well, I don't know if I know how to pray in front of a group of people, or I'm not sure the way I pray is the right way to pray. And so I don't want to do this out loud and in front of other people. And I've heard people say this, well, I'm going to leave that to the professionals because there's a professional in the room. As though prayer is somehow something that only professionals should do, or that there's a professional way to do it. And right, we know that isn't true, right? I love this. There's this great quote by Brennan Manning. He's an author, spiritual leader, and he says, a little child cannot do a bad coloring, nor can a child of God do a bad prayer. I love that kind of invitation to us to not worry about the words that we say, just to pray. A little child cannot do a bad coloring, nor can a child of God do a bad prayer. So the next time you're in a circle with the pastor, or in a circle with me, and the pastor says, okay, would somebody be willing to pray? I know you're all going to be excited, and you're going to jump up, and you're going to say the prayer. And if you're wondering, well, I'm still not sure about how to pray, let's start with just some steps for prayer. Some of you have heard of the ACTS process of praying. It's an acrostic, A-C-T-S, and they each stand for a way to pray. And it's a pattern that you can just follow if you're not sure how to pray. The A in ACTS is adoration. Right? It's just praising God. Start with a praise to God. God, you are beautiful and amazing. God, I lift my praise to you. The second step in an ACTS prayer is confession. It's admitting, God, we have fallen short of your love. God, sometimes we've made mistakes. God, we need to turn back to you. Second step is confession. The third step in the ACTS prayer is thanksgiving. It's just saying thank you to God for everything we've been given. God, thank you for my family, for this food on our table, for the blessings that you've given me in this day. And then the fourth step in the ACTS prayer is supplication. Supplication is just a fancy word. It really means asking God for things, particularly praying for others. It's lifting up the prayers of others. We do this often, right? We pray for those who are sick and those who are struggling, those who we know need more of God's love in their lives, prayers of supplication. So ACTS, we just think ACTS. It's a tool in our mind we can use to think about how to pray. There's another one. If you have trouble remembering ACTS, perhaps it'd be even easier just to remember pray when you pray and use the letters as an acrostic to think about praying in this way. The P in pray is praise, similar to the adoration. It's just lifting up thanks to God and praise to God. The R is similar to confession in that it's repentance. When you pray, just think about turning around and facing God. Confessing to God those things that have drawn you away, those things that have pulled you away from right relationship with God, and asking God to forgive you and lure you back into a deeper relationship. The ask is like the prayer of supplication in Acts. It's just laying your heart out to God. What do you need in your life? Where do you need to know God's love in your own life right now? And ask for others. The final prayer step in this acrostic is yield. The Y is yield. Literally, how do you need to put your trust in God? What do you need to let go of in your life where you're trying to control things? Where do you just need to let go and trust God to be at work in your life? You'll hear some overlaps of these two models of prayer with the Lord's Prayer, right? All three are kind of this sense of how to as we pray. But instead of stopping there, I want us to think for just a moment. There's the how to of something, right? The steps to do it. And then there's the how, right? the kind of the how of how do I really put my whole self into doing this and doing it with excellence and doing it well and doing it in a way with passion that makes a difference. Now, if we need an example of this, I mean, think about dance, right? There are dance steps. People will sometimes learn dance steps, the technical part of dance, right? But there's the how-to, the steps, and then there's dance, right? When it's not just about the steps anymore, but we've put our whole self into it. Now, just a quick side note. My wife Cheryl and daughter Ella helped pick out these images for dancing, and I don't have anything against disco. I just there's disco, like, you know, with more life to it too. Just wanted that out there. So there's how and there's how. Another great way I think we can think about this is music, right? There's learning sort of the technical parts of music. For those that have learned to play a piano or have had a kid learn to play a piano in your household, right? They figure out the notes. A beginner figures out the notes. There's the how-to. But there's also the how of using those notes to make music, right? There's a point where you've heard them sort of peck on those eight notes over and over and over again, but then all of a sudden they put them together in a tune, and then they get excited about it, and they make music. There's the how-to, the steps, and then there's the how that makes a difference, that makes music. So we've looked at the how-to of prayer and sort of the steps to take. But what about the how that brings prayer to life, that is what prayer is really about? And if we look at Luke, I think Jesus teaches about this in a couple of different places. If you want to follow along in a pew Bible, we're going to look first at Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus has actually just finished telling the disciples about the Lord's Prayer, right? He's gone through the steps. These are the steps you can use to pray. But then Jesus says this to his followers. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Then Jesus goes on. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a lot in this text, but two things that might stand out as we think about this question of how today. The first is this. This is not about praying and getting whatever we want. Right? This isn't about seeing God as a genie somehow, and if we just pray for what we want, it'll somehow magically happen. And in fact, we can understand this as we look at this very last line. This whole teaching of Jesus is built up to this point. What Jesus is saying is, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, if you ask to know my presence in the future, I will be there. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be open. Knock on the door of Jesus and know that Jesus is there for you. And the second piece of this parable, this teaching of Jesus, is this sense of asking with shameless audacity. Right? He says, at first, the keeper of the house will refuse, but he won't refuse your shameless audacity. I love, there's a commentary that talks about this, that the shameless audacity is like asking with boldness, the boldness of familiarity. Like, I know Jesus, I have this relationship, and if I keep asking, I know that Jesus will reveal himself to me. The boldness of familiarity. Jesus essentially says, keep asking. Ask because you know me, and I will be there for you. In Luke 18, Jesus teaches the disciples again about prayer, and notice the similarity. Notice the similarities in this text. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now, I don't know about you, but I know often in groups, and as I've read this text before, it's really easy for me to get hung up on this sense of that they get justice and quickly. Right? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I have prayed for justice in the world, and it hasn't seemed to come in that moment. Or sometimes I've watched others pray for justice, and it didn't seem like God brought justice right away. And so to understand what Jesus is saying in this passage, I think it's really important that we understand the context, and that comes from what Jesus says just before this. Just before this, Jesus has actually talked to the disciples about his death and resurrection. He's told them about what is going to come. And in that context, what he's saying to them is essentially, hang on and keep praying, because justice, God is going to bring justice in my life, death, and resurrection. And that justice will be yours. And what you need to do is keep praying and never give up. Keep hanging on to this promise that I'm going to give you, knowing that justice will be done by your God, knowing that you will experience it. So we've looked at the steps of how to pray or even what to say, but what about that deeper how? Right? How do we pray? Well, Jesus tells us to pray in relentless pursuit of relationship with him. Right? Less important than the words is that our prayer life as followers of Jesus is relentless pursuit of a relationship with the one who created us. Now, any analogy of God and our relationship with God, it has drawbacks, but as Jesus teaches today, I invite us just to think of this analogy. Think of your relationship with Jesus as you would think of your relationship with a significant other or with a best friend, the kind of friend you can share anything with. Right? What did it take to have that kind of relationship of trust and depth in your life? Well, you had to spend time with them, right? You had conversations where you poured out your heart to them because you trusted them, and when you just sat back and you listened to everything that they had to say, you honored them for who they were. Sometimes in the best relationships, you've probably had to ask for forgiveness because you've made mistakes. That relationship, it deepens with time and commitment and conversation and honesty. So now, think about this invitation of Jesus with the how to pray is to relentlessly pursue a relationship with Jesus. And imagine in the same way, what would it look like in your life to relentlessly pursue relationship with Jesus just as you would a spouse or a significant other or a best friend? Right? It would mean putting some things aside, putting some distractions aside so you can spend real time with Jesus. It means pouring your heart out sometimes to Jesus, and it means sometimes just sitting and being in Jesus' presence so that Jesus can speak to you. Sometimes it's going to mean asking Jesus for forgiveness for the times you've broken the friendship or you haven't given the friendship priority in your life. What does it look like in your life to relentlessly pursue relationship with Jesus? Each week in this sermon series, we're taking a few moments, not just to talk about prayer, but to pray. So I want to invite you today, if you have your Let's Pray devotional guide with you and you've been using it on Sundays, you're welcome to pull that out. If you don't have a Let's Pray devotional guide, you'd like to have one, you can get one on the way out today. If you're a note taker and you'd like to write your prayers today, I invite you to take a note card out of the pew in front of you or find space on your life guide and find somewhere to write and grab a pencil. You're also able just to do this exercise in your mind as well. But I want to invite you to imagine that you're sitting down at your kitchen table or in your living room. Just imagine you're sitting down and you're just sitting down with Jesus. Jesus, your friend, has come over. He's brought your favorite food and he's brought a cup of your favorite drink, your coffee, your tea. He just wants to sit down and have a conversation with you. Now imagine yourself sitting down. And he said, you know, what's going on in your life? I want to invite you to just think about what is on your heart today that you want to share with Jesus. What do you want to make sure that Jesus knows? And then I'm going to invite you in a couple of minutes of prayer to then sit for a moment and think, what would Jesus be saying to you? How would Jesus respond with grace and encouragement for you in your life today? Let's just go to God. Share what's on our hearts. Think about what Jesus would say with grace and encouragement for us. Let us pray. Lord, hear these our prayers. If you find yourself this morning with more to say, it's okay. Jesus will be with you all day and all week. Just keep the conversation going. And if you found yourself feeling a little bit awkward in the midst of the silence, that's okay. Sometimes we just have to sit with somebody in the awkwardness of some of the moments of our life and wait until we know what to say or until we're ready to hear. I close with this story. A pastor was new in her parish congregation, and she was called in her first month there to go to visit one of her congregation members. His daughter called and said, can you come and pray with my dad? He's been ill for a while and seems to be getting worse. So she went to the house, and the daughter led her to her dad's room, and she went into the room. The daughter left them to visit. She saw a chair sitting at the side of the bed. So she looked at the gentleman and said, "I see you were expecting me. Is it all right if I take a seat?" And he looked up at her and he said, "No, I don't know you. Who are you?" She said, "Well, I'm the pastor at your church, and your daughter called and asked if I'd come by. I saw the empty chair and thought maybe you knew I was coming." He said, "Oh, the chair." And he said, "Oh, could you close the door and then sit a minute?" She thought it was a little odd that he needed the door closed, but she went and she closed the door and she sat down in the chair next to him. And he said to her, "You know, I hate to admit this, but most of my life I haven't prayed. It's like when I was a kid, I kind of learned about prayer, but I didn't get it. And as I became a young adult, I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know what I was doing right, and I never really felt anything. I didn't know what was happening, and so I just kind of stopped. I didn't really pray in my life." I said, "About 4 years ago, about the time I became sick, I was visiting with a friend, and we were talking about faith, and this friend said to me that I should just imagine prayer like talking to him, like just talking to a friend. My friend suggested that I just pull up an empty chair sometimes and just talk as though Jesus was sitting with me. He said it'd be weird to start with, but you'd figure it out." He said, so I started pulling up a chair when I wanted to talk to Jesus, imagining him there and talking to the chair. It's like it did feel weird at first, but then as I did it, it felt more and more comfortable. I got more and more of a sense that Jesus was really there and really in the room with me. He said, I eventually started praying 15 or 20 minutes in conversations with the chair, and sometimes now I can pray for an hour. It's like I just speak and I listen for Jesus to speak back to me. He said, I'm really careful though, because I haven't told my daughter. I'm afraid if she came in and saw me talking to a chair, she'd think I had dementia, or she'd commit me to one of those homes or something." The pastor, she was moved by the story and said, "Well, keep praying." "Just keep doing it." She said a prayer with him and she left. A few days later, a Sunday had passed, early the next week, the daughter called at the church. The pastor answered, and the daughter said, my dad passed away this morning." The pastor said, "I'm so sorry. Was he at peace when he passed?" And she said, "Yeah, I think so. I kissed him goodbye as I do when I run an errand, and I'd run to the store for about an hour. It's like, and when I came back, I found my dad, and he was gone." She said, "But it was kind of the oddest thing. Strange, really. He had pulled himself up somehow and had laid his head in in the chair by his bed. And he looked so at peace. And the pastor said, I'm sure he was. In the lap, in the arms, in the love of Jesus. Prayer relentlessly pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And resting anytime we need to in his everlasting embrace. This is how we're invited to pray. Let us pray. God, there are so many distractions in our life. God, we just come together before you today and remember that you invite us into this amazing relationship, that you are already here and there and everywhere in our lives, and you just want to pull up a chair. You just want to pull up a chair and be there for us. So God, guide us to pour out our hearts to you. Usher us into the power of your presence in Jesus. Whether it's talking to an empty chair, Lord, or whether it's imagining you sitting in our cars as we're driving to work in the morning, or whether it's finding a quiet space, or whether it's pausing in the midst of the chaos around us, remind us that you are there. And that if we'll relentlessly pursue this relationship with you, you'll be there in each and every moment to remind us of a love that knows no bounds. You'll surround us in that love. Give us the strength and the hope and the joy we need for every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.